As I said last week, the baptism of Jesus marked the beginning of his public ministry. After being baptized, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him." Now, there are similarities between Jesus and Adam in Matthew's description of Jesus' temptation. Jesus is the second Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, "The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Whereas Adam fell prey to temptation in the garden and sinned, Jesus remained faithful to God, resisted temptation, and did not sin. Jesus' time in the wilderness was a time of preparation for his ministry. He prayed and fasted, and it was at his most vulnerable moment, after not eating for 40 days, that Satan attacked him. It is during times of vulnerability that Satan will attack us as well. And it is in those times of testing and trial that we learn how to stand against the attacks and schemes of the enemy and learn to stand in faith." Now, 40 is a significant number in Scripture. 40 days of rain in the great flood. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Goliath taunted Israel 40 days before David's victory. Elijah spent 40 fearful days in the wilderness, journeying to Mount Horeb, fleeing Jezebel because she set out to kill him. All of these events were times of preparation for God's people who were called for special tasks. In seasons of testing, we learn that God's word is active and alive and is our weapon to wield as we face the numerous trials and tests of this life. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 calls the word the sword of the Spirit. Through every one of the devil's temptations, Jesus used the scripture to defeat him. After Jesus' encounter with Satan in the wilderness, Jesus began his public ministry in the region of Galilee. He began to preach the good news about the kingdom and call people to repentance. He went on preaching and teaching like no other person had ever done.
That's right.
And as his popularity grew, he was followed by people who would hang on to his every word. Wherever he went, whether it was in Galilee or Judea, a large crowd would follow him. And as he began, he called people to join him, whom he could teach about the kingdom of God, so that once he had returned to heaven, they could continue the mission he had begun. They would have to go fish for souls and become good at it as they were as fishers of fish. They gave up their professions to live and learn with Jesus, becoming those who would speak and act in Jesus' name. They would go into villages, living like Jesus taught them, preaching the good news and healing the sick, all under the authority of Jesus. And as they were sent out in twos, spreading the good news, it proved to be so effective that when Jesus arrived in towns and cities, people would be expectant and open to hear his words. They would travel far and near to hear him. So much so that later Jesus appointed 72 persons to go and do more of the same. Jesus was very effective at knowing how to fish for people. So how do we fish for souls? Like a fisherman puts a lure on his hook and casts it into the lake, we draw people to Christ by living the gospel, not just sharing the gospel with our words. We draw people by living like Jesus, letting them experience the Jesus in us. We draw people to Jesus by applying the scriptures to our lives, submitting to them and letting them shape our behavior. We draw people to Jesus by sharing the good news. The good news that is our reason for hope and for joy. Now, if you can't do that because the cares and trials of life have destroyed your joy, then it's time for you to go back to the well that will never run dry. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, at Jacob's well, when she questioned him about asking her for a drink? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That living water is his spirit and his life living in you. That spirit that even helps us to pray when we don't have words to pray. That spirit that brings his word to mind and helps us to fight the good fight of faith. And when we are knee deep in the muck and mess of life, Jesus is doing battle with us and for us as we search for him. And it is in those times of trial that we must do as he did. We must take out our sword and do battle. Do battle saying, if God is for me, who can be against me? In those times, the devil will tempt us to forsake our call to fish for people. He will tempt us to instead sit on the sidelines and do nothing. But Jesus wants to have his hook so deep in us that we are drawn to him, hook, line, and sinker. So that even in our darkest times, his light will shine through us so brightly that people will be drawn to the Christ in us, wondering what is our reason for hope. The only Jesus people will ever see is the Jesus in you and in me. Amen? One reason why Jesus' disciples were successful was that they lived by what he taught them. They weren't just fair weather fans who thought about God when it was convenient or when the heat of life got so bad that they could feel hell licking at their heels. You know how that goes. Some folks don't have time for God until the devil's chomping on them. Amen?
Come on.
That's right.
And then they're like, oh, Pastor, pray for me.
Yes.
Yep. Sister, won't you pray for me? Brother, won't you pray for me? The devil's on my tracks.
That's right.
Well, maybe you better get off his track and get on the right track.
Amen.
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 Jesus' followers weren't just fans of Jesus. Some folk like Jesus. They think he's pretty cool. But they don't want to live like he tells us to live. Amen. Jesus doesn't want any more fans. Amen. Jesus wants followers, learners, and doers. Amen. Webster's dictionary defines the word fan as an enthusiastic admirer. Jesus doesn't need our admiration. He's God. Amen. He's God all by himself, full of glory and power and might and grace. He don't need us. Amen. But he loves us. Amen. And he is calling us to be his followers. His followers that accept the call to fish for souls. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the world today.
Amen.
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 He is the true source of hope and joy and life. And he has chosen to use us. Mm-hmm. The scripture says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency and the power will not be of us, but will be of God. Amen.
That's right.
We're not to be those who are out there ringing our own horns and tooting our own bells and saying, look at me, look at me. I'm the greatest at this. I'm the greatest at that. Look at what I've done. No, we're supposed to say, look at what God has done. He's a good God. He saved me. He can save you. He's real, no matter what anybody else in the world says. And you know why he's real? He's real because he lives within me. And I know him for myself. How about you? Amen. Jesus is saying, get busy. Go fish. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't save us to feel comfortable. He doesn't save us so we can just feel good and happy and come in here and enjoy one another. Amen. He saves us so that we can be his vessels to make a difference, to make an impact in this world that so needs the Savior. Amen. In a time of great division and fear and disillusionment, we need Jesus.
Amen.
And we need not act like the world acts. Amen. We need to walk in his love and proclaim his goodness and stand with those who are weak and give him glory in our lives. Go fish.
Amen.
Every day. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. You don't make it hard, Father. You've given us your word to guide us. You've given us your spirit to empower us. You have given us our marching orders. You've told us to go live the gospel so that people will see the gospel in us and want to know Jesus. Forgive us, God, when we get so distracted with our own lives that we forget about all those you are calling us to share your love with. Strengthen us and renew your spirit in us. So that people will experience you in us, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.